Hey everyone, welcome back to the Physician Syndicate podcast. I'm your host, Ronak, and today we got a really exciting episode. We have the startup Kencore Health on with us, specifically Muthu and Varish. Both of you, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Ronak.
So just to get started, Varish, Muthu, do you both want to maybe give a little bit of background on yourselves, maybe what you were doing before Kencore? And then also, what is it about the entrepreneurship that gets you excited? There are so many large organizations that one could work at. Why be at a startup?
Thank you. Thank you, Ronak, for the opportunity. My name is Muthu Krishna. I go by Muthu. I've been in healthcare for 18 plus years. I was part of the heavy duty team of implementing electronic medical record, Epic system at Kaiser Permanente in the Bay Area, Silicon Valley. And my journey was with Deloitte Consulting, then with Kaiser. I was being part of the two monster EMR implementation at Kaiser. One is the Big Blues CIS, Clinical Information System, and the second one was Epic implementations. Then I've been with a medical device company as an investor, advisor. Then I took over as a CEO. Then I was in the pharma side and payers and different flavors of electronic medical record. I'd been working as an advisor, implementation, a strategist for Palo Alto Medical Foundation, Sutter Health, Stanford, Up North, Providence Health Systems. And the entrepreneurship, I think it comes with the Silicon Valley soil, I guess. I think the rest of the states have tried this and been there. Silicon Valley is something special, where when I was 9+ years at Kaiser and having a life of my, great life there. But as I said before, Silicon Valley does this to any individual, I guess, to be an entrepreneur. It's an amazing journey in Silicon Valley. This is the only place you can do this. So I started the Kencore Health Systems because of that. Entrepreneurship is a journey. I would define like that. A lot of ups and downs. It's a fun, because it's especially like a product company like Kencore Health, you will feel it each and every bit. You will enjoy the ride. With that, let me have my colleague do the introduction. Then we'll go from there. Thank you, Rona.
Yeah, thanks, Varish. Sorry, Varish, before getting started, I just think that's really cool how you used to work with the EMR system. We've been talking a lot on this podcast about how AI is getting into the healthcare space. And I think we're seeing, ChatGPT and AI just really impacting how EMR systems are working at hospital networks and things like that. How that's, the technology is completely changing the game for how physicians operate. So it's really cool to hear that you have that background and experience.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Sorry, Varish, to cut you off.
No, please.
Curious to hear about your background.
Yeah. Thanks, Ronak. I've been in information technology now for more than 30 years. I spent last 20 years in healthcare IT, mostly in the senior leadership positions in health systems provider space. I worked with close to 15 years with the Henry Ford Health System in Detroit area, which is a 8-hospital health system. Worked as a vice president of IT there, again, rolling out large systems, EHR implementations. Then I spent some, last 8 years prior to the pandemic in the Middle East with the health system, building a greenfield facility, rolling out all of the IT systems. And it was kind of a interesting journey for me. It's, I'm passionate about how we leverage technology to improve healthcare all across the board, whether it is for patients or the providers or for everybody who is behind the scenes. So first, my large, bodies of work have been in the provider space. But during the pandemic time, my focus shifted to public health in terms of how we help the public health with better reporting. As everybody has heard about, how many beds are there in certain state, or how many ventilators are there, what's available, where are the resources, how do you optimize the use of these things across the geographies. Biggest challenge was, how do you really define these things and establish standards so that everybody is talking in the same language? Spend time with CDC, state and local bodies in terms of establishing some standards and processes. And that was like looking at it from a totally different angle. But along the line, one of the things that has become very clear is that with the smartphones, technology pushing into the homes, and with the, you know, pandemic acted as an accelerator in the digital health space. Really, healthcare, it became so much easier to push the healthcare into the homes, into the hands of the patients, wherever they are. And that has opened really new doors across the board in terms of how the healthcare is being delivered. That's, and I think it's going to have a profound effect over the next 10 years, where things are going. You know, a lot of the complex healthcare delivery happened in acute setting, in the hospitals, in the ICUs, in the ERs. These places are very, very expensive. But with this technology now, all of that care can be pushed in many situations back into the comfort of the home for the patient. And that's what really excites me in terms of what is happening and what CanCor can do in terms of helping entire the healthcare ecosystem. And that's what I'm passionate about.
Yep, feel free to jump in, Mathu.
All right. Thank you, Ronak. To your previous question, thank you, Viresh. I think it's a very interesting question you had asked. Technology innovation in healthcare. I'm going to give an analogy where 20 years ago, how banking industry or a fintech was there, that's where healthcare is now. But is it going to take 20 years to go forward? No, it's not. The 10 years ago, one of the largest, I'm sure everybody has known this, it's called HIMSS, one of the largest healthcare conference in the country, in the world rather, HIMSS, HIMSS. And it happens in Chicago, Florida, Vegas in each every year. And during COVID, it was all virtual. Then again, it started from last year. If you rewind like 5 years ago or 10 years ago, 8 years to 10 years rather, there is a small place for innovation in the top floor, just a half of the floor, not even half, a one third of the floor. 5 years ago, you can see the entire floor for innovation. And last 2 years ago, it was two floors for innovation. What it tells you something, what it tells every health system, every big hospital system, as including Kaiser, my home turf in Oakland, it has an innovation center built. How Viresh talked about the bedside systems are now having made easier, right? Everybody is welcoming innovation. So there is an innovation center in every health systems in this country now. And there are at least 15 to 20% spent on innovation ahead. There is a new concept called hospital at home. Me and Viresh will be talking in a bit about it. So innovation is, and the healthcare is catching up like a fire, especially COVID, as a very, very sad it happened, but a lot of things opened up in terms of health system, this country thinking towards, you know, innovation and technology. ChatGPT and AI coming in, now remote monitoring patients, why the patients has to come to the hospital, can they be monitoring? That's a saga for CanCor Health, remote patient monitoring, which we'll be talking in a bit.
Yeah, this is really cool. So I think I'm hearing two main themes from you guys. So one, doing something a little bit good for the patient that makes their lives better and easier, and then two, implementing technology to make that change happen. And my understanding is that that's really the crux of what you're trying to accomplish at CanCor Health. But maybe, you know, either one of you feel free to jump in. Maybe you can just talk about, like, what is it that CanCor is specifically doing?
So CanCor journey started with reducing readmissions for the hospital. So the core concept CanCor was born was patient engagement. How do we engage patient in a simplistic form factor? Being a Silicon Valley healthcare company, technology comes naturally for us, connecting the patients and the CAT team members in a simplistic form factor. That's all it is. We are very very adamant in terms of we want to keep things simpler for the patients, and we want to keep things simpler for the care team members, which is nothing but the physicians and nurse practitioner, medical assistant or physician assistant team, right? How do we do that? We want to build the gap, be a bridge between the patients and the care team members. That's all the concept was. In healthcare, there is a famous terminology called U-turn, right? So the patients go in for the same diagnosis. They go in and get admitted to the hospital or the emergency department for same diagnosis. Say, for example, a patient is admitted for congestive heart failure. If the patients get admitted, they apparently stayed for 3 or 4 days, then get discharged, then come back after 4 or 5 days back to the health system. That's called U-turn. So it's a sort of a revolving door. For the same diagnosis, the patients get admitted again and again and again. So when Obamacare was implemented, the federal government started charging penalties for the readmits. Okay. The penalties charged changed into in Kaiser Health News, your name will be published and your hospital system name will be dinged that X hospital system was 45% readmission rate. That means you are having 45% of readmissions again and again and again. So after the penalty was implemented or imposed, the name got dinged and a lot of hospital system worked towards it, and it worked. The magic works. The penalty and the name get dinged and there were reducing readmissions, right? Mm-hmm. So we started the journey along those lines. Then we quickly realized the sales cycle of a health system is longer. Viresh can talk about it, leading the entire as a CIO for a huge health system in this country, Henry Ford Hospital, in a minute. So then what we got into remote patient monitoring, which the code, a CPT code was unbundled in 2018. We quickly grabbed that opportunity for remote patient monitoring. We got with all the certification with CMS, and we got our platform geared towards remote patient monitoring. So remote patient monitoring in this country, if you want to tell a story, everything is reimbursable. And using Kencore platform, you can better take care of the patients, better patient care, and you get paid for the care. That's called remote patient monitoring. That's where we started. It's not pivot. It's a patient engagement core under remote reducing readmissions. Then we got into remote patient monitoring and going after chronic care management patients.
That's really interesting. So just for context, my girlfriend is a physician working at a large hospital. And one of the things that we've been talking about is the readmissions, that the same patients come back over and over with the same issues, and how if there's any kind of way to fix that so that way the hospital can be more efficient, spending their time and energy on new patients, new diagnostics. And then also for the patients, they don't have to keep on coming into the hospital, right? This just sounds like an unnecessary loop that keeps on happening. So it sounds like that you guys are going after that in a little bit of a way. Am I understanding that correctly?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Viresh can add to it. There are two things to it. One is the hospital system, like what you rightly said, the Center of Medicare and Medicaid Services looked at this and say, wait a minute, there's something wrong for the same diagnosis. Let's put some penalty towards it, number one. Number two is, like what you rightly said, Ronak, where why the patients has to come to the hospital systems all the time, whether it's inpatient, where inpatient is defined as when the patients get admitted to the hospital beds, number one. Number two is why the ambulatory, that means the patients are coming for the normal visits, has to come to the hospital system inside that the wall, right? So what the hospital system did is, one of the customer for us is North Bay Hospital in Vacaville and Vallejo. They did a brilliant job for congestive heart failure. In this case, for cardiology patients, they created an ambulatory setup, like a clinic setup, which is connected to the hospital to reduce the flow intake of the patients and move those patients to those ambulatory clinic, which has around 8 or 9 physicians looking, seeing them instead of going to the hospital. So to your question, the traffic was routed through another way, which is connected to the hospital, but in an ambulatory setting rather than inpatient setting. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. So maybe can you just double click on like the specific product or service? Like, is it like an Apple Watch that I'm wearing as a patient that's tracking my steps? That's sort of doing how does this remote patient management system work for Kencor specifically?
Viresh, you want to take it?
Yeah. So there are a lot of different vital signs of a patient are monitored just to assess the overall health. It could be their blood pressure or their oxygen level in the blood, or it could be blood glucose. Mm-hmm. It could be generally their activity, like number of steps, or it could be heart rate. It could be weight. All these different vital signs tell the story of how the patient is feeling. And when you can monitor any and all of these from home, there's fairly good amount of information available for the caregiver to assess what's going on and what should be next best step for mm-hmm. that patient. And moreover, when you're collecting massive amount of data, right, every day, something's continuously, you open up doors to leverage technology to a lot of things without clinical intervention. Mm-hmm. You can use AI to predict things because you have a lot of data to look at and understand, assess what might be happening. At the same time, you can set up the rules, care plans, where it's not the physicians, but nurses or medical assistants can be the first line of defense, or keeping proactive monitoring in place and watching things before things become worse. So for example, if you take the case of a CHF patient that Muthu explained, right? If the patient is staying home, you're watching their weight specifically, they don't have, let's say somebody went for a surgery, came back, you want to watch for retention of fluids, or you want to watch for BP. You may want to watch for heart rate, all these things, right? If you see things going haywire, you can adjust the medications while the patient is at home. You don't need patient to come back. Think about it this way. It costs very little to monitor a patient at home, probably $20, $30 a day. If a patient comes to a clinic, it might cost $200, $300 for the visit. Mm-hmm. If they go to an ER, it costs $3,000 to $4,000 a visit. If they go to the hospital, if they stay in inpatient bed or ICU, it could cost anywhere from $5,000 to $15,000 a day. Hmm. Right? So by doing this at home monitoring, patient is in the comfort of their home, and you can react to it much earlier than situation becomes worse, mm-hmm. and it is a lot less expensive, lot less time consuming for all the resources. You hear today the staffing shortages in healthcare, right? Mm-hmm. That's a big problem. Think about that. Hospitals don't have to put their effort into it. Clinics don't have to put their effort into it. But there is somebody from Kencor, a care coordinator is, or an MA is watching the situation. Mm-hmm. It becomes a lot more scalable and efficient. Yeah. So this is what we do. As a remote patient monitoring company or a chronic care management company, we provide vital sign monitoring remotely, as well as health services in the home environment, but remotely. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
It's good for the patient. It's comfortable. It doesn't cost them anything, right? Mm-hmm. It's good for the physicians and their staff that they're not taxed with a lot of phone calls or unnecessary interventions. Mm-hmm. It's good for the overall healthcare industry that you're spending a lot less money providing better quality of care mm-hmm. for the patient. So I think this is where the promise of technology comes to fruition, that you're leveraging technology and people in the right place, mm-hmm. not in the very expensive taxed hospitals or EDs, mm-hmm. or even in the clinics, but at home.
Right.
And that's our value proposition for the patients. It's better care. For providers, it's better outcomes, mm-hmm. and you know, less burden on their staff. Physician burnout is a big thing today. Mm-hmm. And for the entire healthcare industry, it's getting to the better outcomes at a lower cost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that, so the that, babies, that's so, yeah.
Yeah, go, yeah. Go ahead, go ahead.
Yeah, just to add to what Viresh talked about, just like what you talked about your girlfriend in the health system, our platform is a frictionless implementation. It's a SaaS platform and connecting patients and the care team members in a simplistic form factor. And as Viresh talked about, it comes with the vitals, which is embedded within the platform. And there is, we will take the complete process in our control, including training, enroll, monitor, and bill. Everything, all the three we do, so that the physicians no need to think twice, and the patients no need to think about how do I install this or use it. It's everything is one click, click, click for the patient, click for the nurse practitioners or the our. We have a KenCore care coordinator, and we work with the clinic physicians or the nurse practitioner. It's one click, and the click for the physician, because the physicians will be escalated to the patients who are in red alert. Only the vitals are higher, and they are. We ask some questions, and if the responses are really bad, we call it a red alert. Only those red alert will be escalated to the physicians. As Viresh touched on, the workload for the physician is probably an hour every 2 weeks, with the only the focusing on the patients who need his attention. Then his nurse practitioner will be a couple of hours in 2 weeks, and our medical assistant or care coordinator will do the 80% of the job of the mundane tasks will be taken away from them. So implementing remote patient monitoring is a frictionless process for the clinics from the KenCore perspective. That's a differentiator compared to the other vendors out there in remote patient monitoring. KenCore is totally different because our platform, a technology, plus the white glove service, we call it as, we take care of the entire implementations in a frictionless way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very cool. Yeah, this sounds amazing. So my background is in data science. I used to work at Facebook and Tesla and some of these other big tech companies. I can only imagine some of the data that you guys are collecting and the machine learning that you can do on top of this to get better understanding. Like the initial thing that comes to mind, somebody goes through a surgery, and then over the next few hours, next few days, whatever it is, they start losing weight. So if they have some sort of like special KenCore product where they're checking their weight, I'm making this up, like every hour for the first 48 hours after a surgery, if they can see most other people that went through the same surgery that I went to, you know, I'm within like one standard deviation of the typical weight loss, then I don't need to go into a doctor's office to be like, hey, is everything okay? I already have all the data right there. At the same time, if the doctor sees that, oh, this person's weight is dropping way too much, hey, why don't you come into the office? We probably should check you out. That's really, really cool.
Exactly. I think your example is spot on, because you talked about earlier, reducing the traffic of very needed patients should be looked into the hospital system or ambulatory clinic system. You don't want too much of traffic where things can be done with the comfort of their home, sitting on the couch, watching some television shows and doing this in parallel.
Right. Right. Oh, very cool. So it sounds, so you mentioned that this is a SaaS platform. I can imagine this scaling to, you know, a lot of the hospitals out there. I'm curious to get your take on how you think about the TAM, the total addressable market, right? If you were to fast forward 5 to 10 years from now, let's say things go your way, how big of a company do you think KenCore can become?
So total addressable market, you know, it's continuously expanding because of the technology that has become available, plus some of the health policies that are put in place you know, specifically in US, as Muthu mentioned, in 2018, Medicare came out and said that they will pay for remote patient monitoring for patients with chronic conditions and other places where physicians feel it will help. So what that has done is it has created a market which could be close to $160 billion by 2026. Mm-hmm. Just the remote patient monitoring, chronic care management, or remote therapeutic monitoring at home. Mm-hmm. When you look at the US patient population, older people, you know, you are looking at up to 65 million people in the older age who can be monitored more effectively using this kind of technology. That's number one. And number two, you know, this top sickest 5% of the patients consume 50% of the healthcare cost. So these tools and this type of platforms, along with the right health services supporting them, would really help in terms of bending the cost curve for the entire healthcare industry. I mean, that's really what we see as a big opportunity. As technology evolves, as more things can be done at home, we have created a platform and a vehicle to push that care into the homes from the brick and mortar locations of the clinics or hospitals or any of that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a big market, and we see it only expanding further as the time goes by.
Wow. That's awesome. An industry that's already large, and the industry is growing on top of it.
Yep. And we are seeing a tremendous growth ourselves in terms of the number of physicians and number of patients that we are supporting. And, it's one growth in terms of the physicians and patients. And the second is the level of engagement that we receive from the patients. It's not, you know, it's not just the patients have started using the platform. It's also important how long they stay, how long they feel that this is useful. Our net promoter scores are 90% plus.
Wow, fantastic. So
that tells me that the patients see a huge value in it, right? And from the, as Muthu explained, from physician's perspective, it reduces their burden significantly. And we haven't seen the numbers, but we are very optimistic that this is helping overall for the healthcare industry in terms of bringing down the costs.
Interesting. Maybe we should definitely chat after this podcast as well. I mean, at Facebook, you have the users and the advertisers that you're trying to get on, and then you think about engagement. It's a very similar like structural business model, but I think the application is much better. It's actually getting people healthier, not addicted to cat videos.
That's really cool. One comment to add to what Virish said, it's very important to address it here. Especially in rural, I think the patients have looked into, we have customers in Merced, California, in Fresno, California. In Merced, especially a lot of farm workers there. And we thought our engagement will be lesser in terms of technology could be a barrier. And the learning curve for the patients to get situated towards this remote patient monitoring, combination of both. To our surprise, after COVID last year and so forth, they have taken into their hands because the family ecosystem is helping the father or the grandkids are helping their, you know, grandparents. So technology is not a barrier. So they are getting help hooked up in the smartphones using our platform. And religiously, we are getting vitals. They are engaged. They are engaged around 80 to 85%, which is a huge jump in remote patient monitoring world. And the rural is taking, they are very, very cooperative. The patients within courts We don't call the patients as patients. We call it as a normal persons, mm-hmm. you know, with the chronic conditions. Their engagement is fantastic. And that's what Viresh talked about. We are growing at a strike rate where we need to scale in terms of the customer success, in terms of the care team members, expanding that. More than a sales problem, mm-hmm. it's basically the scaling, Ronak, what you talked about earlier, in terms of catalyzing the patients. More patients enroll in our platform and engaging with more clinics and more physicians, adapting to the remote patient monitoring platform.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So in order to start a company like Kencore, right, it includes employees, I don't know, server costs, so manufacturing, maybe something like there's going to be a lot of expenses. So I think the reality is no matter how large a company could potentially become or how much good you're doing in the world, raising money is probably important to get going. So I'm curious to get your take on how you're thinking about raising money. Are you guys raising money already? Have you done that in the past? Just curious to get your take on the fundraising side of things.
So when I started this journey in 2016, 2017, I joined hands with my co-founder. He's a technologist in telecom industry in Silicon Valley. And myself, coming with a heavy healthcare background, we joined hands together. At that time, it's like 2016, 2017, when I had this idea as CEO on the paper, in paper, we were able to raise around 1.6, 1.7 million from physicians who believed and trusted this. This is the beauty of Silicon Valley, where healthcare enabled with technology is very well welcomed. Because why physicians? They know the lay of the land and they see this as an opportunity. The invest and they try. We call this a smart money. We took money mm-hmm. from the physicians so that they can be our product evangelist and use our product and PPR, right? So we did that and they used it and it worked out brilliantly. So far we have raised around 5.12 million seed money, which we were able to close it last year. And mm-hmm. then we did the valuation. We are in a very, very good spot right now. We are doing pre-series A round with a very small amount of 3.5 million. And we are almost ready to close that as well. And we are looking for a series A in 4 to 6 months out. And like what Viresh talked about earlier and where the tractions, what we got, whether it's a number of patients in our platform, number of lives in our platform, and how we are able to be a last mile delivery to the care team members or the hospital system is what our goal is.
Wow. Congratulations on that. I think raising money, you know, ever since COVID hit, I think has been pretty challenging. So being able to pull off a very large seed round and getting prepared for a Series A, hopefully exactly. This just means there are some really good things for Kencore in the future. Congratulations yes. on that.
Thank you. And we love the angel investors and in the Valley and the trust and towards us as a team. And we are thriving. We went through a lot of ups and downs, especially during COVID. But we were thriving. We took the opportunity as creating a COVID screening app approved by CDC. We got free PR with the Harvard Business Review. We got interviewed through Wall Street Journal, New York Times during COVID. We lost a lot of customers and revenue during that time as a COVID, like any other customers. Then there is a hockey stick growth in 2021, second quarter onwards in remote patient monitoring and chronic care management. Then after that, never turning back. We closed the seed round and we, as you rightly said, we are marching towards the Series A right now.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. So for anybody listening, we'll leave a link to Kencore in the show notes, as well as a link to both Viresh and Muthu's LinkedIn profiles, just in case if anybody want to get in touch, any physicians want to get in touch. But to close out the episode, maybe we can just get one piece of advice for either somebody thinking about going into the entrepreneur space or thinking about making their first angel investment. I would be love to hear from both of you, just like one piece of advice for either one of those two groups.
Thank you. I'll go first. I think as an entrepreneur, a lot of patience. Persistence, you need to believe on what problem you're trying to solve. and why. And all of us would have come from enterprise world. I used to come from Kaiser, a huge team, and everything is given to you. It's totally day and night when you come to be an entrepreneur, because everything, nothing will come to you. You have to go and fetch it, right? So you need to understand that. And number two, in terms of fundraising, I would say when you put across the right problem statement and why you need the fund for, and approaching the right investors and the connect and go to a lot of meetups, it does help. In Bay Area, that is at least one meetup every week is happening right now. Please don't ignore it. And you need to sacrifice your weekends and unfortunately your family time, but it works. So persistence in terms of fundraising, patience and persistence in terms of being an entrepreneur. Viresh.
Awesome.
Yeah, to me, as Muthu said, it's the PPE, not the personal protective equipment, but it's a it's a passion. You really have to believe in the cause. Otherwise, it's tough to stand through ups and downs of a startup, right? The second is the perseverance. And third, and the most important thing, is the execution. Execute, execute, execute. You know, you're never are successful the first time. You may fail first time, you fail second time, you may fail third time. You have to keep learning and execute better. I think that's what really helps the startups to thrive. And if you don't have either the passion or perseverance, don't try it.
Yeah,
that's all I can say.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So both Muthu and Viresh, really want to thank you for coming on the podcast like this. I think there's a lot of good information about Kencor Health and what you guys are building and developing. And really hope this scales quite a bit over the course of the entire country. I mean, I think both hospital networks as well as patients can benefit from this. So definitely want to wish you both very, very much good luck on your journey.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ronak. Thanks for the opportunity.
Hey, Ronak.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. As always, we'd like to remind you that the information and opinions expressed on this podcast are for educational and entertainment purposes only and should not be construed as financial or investment advice. Before making any investment decisions, we strongly recommend that you consult with your lawyer, tax professional, and financial planner. Keep in mind that investing in startups can be extremely risky, and there's a potential for loss of your entire investment. Remember to always conduct thorough research and consider your risk tolerance before making any financial decisions. Stay informed, and we look forward to having you join us on our next episode of the Physician Syndicate podcast.